Check, check. One, two.
Hot mic. Hot mic.
One.
Romans 12. We have spent a very long time on the first two verses. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, it's hard to understand what the first two verses have to do with the third verse in English. But the word "for" is a word that means it's seeing then. It's no doubt. It's used in arguments to, if you were debating, it was, you've done all this, you've said all this, and then therefore you've proved that point. And the point is that you should think, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think, and of, notice that of himself is in italics, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, even as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith that has ever been born that's necessary for abandonment of self, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But it's not to think more highly. What does that mean? What does that mean? Not to think more highly.
Give breath to your own mind, your own thoughts.
Well, favorably. Favorably. Highly favored.
It's like me fretting over the economy. It's above me. I have no control over it. I have no knowledge of it. I have no ability. It's none of my business.
The idea of thinking more highly means that you, it's in John, you know, it's there's, what's that, the John Targum, the one of the Psalms about, what, you remember what, which one it is?
Give us a clue.
Yeah, Israel, though she cry.
Yeah, it's Israel, though she, yeah. What psalm is that?
It's a number, one of the many numbers that are...
Right. It's the idea that you're content in the state that you're in. It's not just about exalting or... It's to with regard to the state and the... And it's... If I am concerned with what I don't have, then I'm thinking more highly... Then, and from the scriptural standpoint, I'm insane. It's to think soberly, to think that whatever the situation I'm in is. Now, this is speaking to believers. This is speaking to people who have come to the end of themselves. This is speaking to people who have seen the vanity of human effort. This is speaking to people who have seen the vanity of their own effort, the emptiness of their own effort. It's not speaking to the world. If I'm speaking to the world, then I say to you, think highly. Take everything that you can think about and take it to the end of time and space. But as a believer, knowing what this predicate, which was present yourself the living sacrifice, then if I take myself out of the moment, then I am taking, then I'm thinking more highly than I should. I am not, I am insane from God's standpoint. Remember? Remember the difference when we studied godly and ungodly? Godly is sibious, ascibious is ungodly. And this is what it means to think more highly. You don't need to exercise yourself in things that are beyond. And I don't know how to explain this.
I have an example I just thought of. Is that you're sitting there and a house is on fire, and you have the opportunity to grab the person who's, you know, can't get out of the house and get them outside. Instead, you're thinking about the horror of fire itself and how that, you know, how did this, you know, terrible scourge on mankind, you know, you're going, you know, it's like that's not what, maybe some other time that will present itself to you to think about. But right then, you just have to walk through the door with this person and, you know, because the moment is passing.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because it's the thought, to think more highly is to leave this moment. Do you understand? It's hard to explain in English, and it's hard to explain for me to explain because I'm an idiot. But the idea of to think more highly means that I take myself out of the moment. It doesn't matter what I'm doing out of the moment. I can be making plans for tomorrow. I can be regretting something in the past. I can be forming an agenda for the day's activities. Whatever I'm doing, if I am leaving the moment, then I am thinking more highly than is necessary by faith. Now, the opposite of that is you stay in that position of abandonment. Whatever your burden is, you cast it on Him instantly. There's no thought process. You're not trying to figure out by cause and effect the next state or the next point of action that you're taking, because you have just agreed that you've presented yourself as the living sacrifice. So all you can do is be in that moment. You can't, if you're in any other moment, then you have not presented yourself as a living sacrifice. If you're in the past, if you're in the future, if you make reference to the past, if you make reference to the future, you've left that moment, so you're thinking more highly. That's what this means. And it's critical, because you're not casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You're not bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, because you've created and you're living in this imaginary world of your mind, which is sorcery. The assumption is that you've thought before you became a believer, you've gone all through the high thinking and all the options and all the various conditions and things that could have happened. You've come to the conclusion and you've seen with the preacher that vanities of vanities, all is vanity, and everything else that was said in Ecclesiastes. And so if you're sitting there, and I'm not picking at anyone here, waiting for something to gel, if you're waiting, that's fine. But if you're cogitating it, then what's happening?
What does cogitate mean?
Thinking it over and trying to look at all the options. And now, this is so critical on how you conduct your second-by-second life. If you've presented yourself the living sacrifice, then your thought process is over, because you're only in that moment of dependence. If you haven't, or if you're not sure, then you got to think about everything. You got to push everything, but really think as high as you can. Take the boundaries off your thought process. Everybody understand this a little bit? Let's go to John 5.
I
There's a whole bunch of, this whole section here is about this subject. In verse 19, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, you, because you've presented yourself as a living sacrifice, there is no more separation. The whole process of language and sentence structures and all that stuff and words naming things has gone away because you've moved from time and space into the gift of God, which is eternal life, which is now. You've heard me say this before, and nobody believes it, but I haven't learned one thing about the mystery of God since the day that I was a believer. I've learned how to describe it better. I've learned how to the scriptures, but I haven't learned anything about the essence of that experience, of that mystery of God. The mystery of God was in terms of how it affected me is I could never again do anything to help myself. You know, and I've screwed up a thousand times, millions of times. But that's the essence. If I did anything or any thought that took me as a subject, I had to seek, I had to abandon. I had to say, Father, forgive me. Because I had to stay in that moment. That one moment. That one now. Now is the accepted time. This is all, you know, this is hard to explain. So anyway, so that's what Jesus is saying here. Then go to verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father. In other words, what he says over and over, what I see, I do. What I don't see, I don't do. It's only everything is the immediacy, the now. Now, if you don't know that you and the Father and the Son are one, then none of this makes no sense to you, because you're just a separate little victim of the universe that has to try to keep doing his best and play all these intellectual games to give righteousness to yourself. Let's look at the real Lord's Prayer. What we think of as the Lord's Prayer is the disciples' prayer. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer, John 17. Does anybody have a page for Miss Kayala?
No, I need another one. This one's fucked up. I don't like it.
This is probably New King James.
Thank you.
These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, when thou hast given me, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name. I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The entire prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is about us in Him, He in us, and Christ in the Father. So there's that singular unity, and the lie of separation of you as this poor thing that is doing stuff or not doing stuff is gone. And so that your prayer can be that same as that ancient prayer we found. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee, I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Now you can't do that by thinking more highly than you ought to think. You have to be only in the moment. You have to cast down every thought that takes you out of that moment. And just as the manna, this is the true manna, but just as the manna that God gave to the children of Israel, without, if there was no guilt and if there was no idolatry, that manna at every minute met the heart's desire of everyone that ate it. So now also, the true, and much more, the true manna meets every heart's desire with there's no guilt and idolatry. And it's so difficult for us to understand that the very use and creation of words and names, and then stringing the names together to make sentences has created idolatry and separation. And so the more we give breath to the evil one, the more we are separated, the more the idolatry, and the more the misery. Does anybody understand?
He didn't, normally we pray for circumstances, for something about circumstances to change, but he didn't pray about circumstances at all. It's all about, he prayed for his disciples that they'd be in the right relationship. It's all about.
Amen. And all this stuff. This is what's so evil about, you know, the whole idea of the Corinthian heresy, because the Corinthian heresy had these two elements. It was the same as the word faith movement today, but it also had the other half of the Corinthian heresy was that God was going to physically return to Jerusalem and set up his kingdom in Israel. That was part of the Corinthian heresy. And yet that's all we see. Turn on religious television, and all you see is the Corinthian heresy. One aspect of it or not, or the other, or both from the same preacher. And something else needs to happen. There's a separation of the races, and there becomes, you know, there's something, if I can find it real quickly. Anybody have any questions or thoughts?
Separation of the races?
Well, there's still Jew and Greek and bond and free. Everybody understand? Yeah, here's the modern manifestation of the Corinthian heresy. Making religion the key to maximizing self-interest. Give to get, the seed faith, the heavenly lottery. Strong dualism, we're still battling good and evil. Celebrity selling. Power to get whatever you want, because your words have power. The use of the word Jesus as a mantra. Instant gratification and sorcery. Not to think more highly than one ought to think, because you've presented yourself a living sacrifice, which means you're dead. And the only one living in you is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. The total and 100% abandonment of self to that moment.
Isn't there a similar scripture about that, like in Romans 9, where it talks about, in context of life, how can God, do this thing, or decides you're, talking about Jacob and Esau and all that kind of stuff, and then Paul says somewhere in there, I think, almost uses the same language. You think too highly, the same kind of an idea, but I wish I could quote it.
Thank you, John.
Kevin? You were gelling.
I was distracted, I'm sorry.
We want you to yell, not gel.
It's so simple. How's the other? The other is just goofy. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Faith is a dime a dozen. It's the trial of faith that's precious. And the only thing that the trial is there something that can take you away from this moment? John? Man? Gary?
I just noticed when you talked about think more highly, you took the italics out. You didn't mention it.
No, I did mention it. Oh, I said, notice that of himself is in italics.
I missed that part, but anyway, I noticed that that was...
He said it.
Okay.
Retract. Ronnie, your lawyer. Cross-examination.
Anyway, I heard it all in that dimension. It is not about that part. It's all thoughts. It's just about the thinking process.
And you see, it's axiomatic. If you've presented yourself a living sacrifice, then that's the logical next. I mean,
don't think about yourself as anything other than a living sacrifice. Then that keeps you in the moment.
All you can do is take one step, is walk. That's all you can do. It's one of the simplest things. It is.
We're all like alcohol.
Seriously.
As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing beguile you from the simplicity that is in Christ. It has nothing to do with a function of intelligence or ability to read. It's simply the understanding of him and him alone. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain. Whatsoever is a gain to me is a loss to Christ. Even understanding the scriptures, if it's a gain to you, it's a loss to Christ. You cannot apprehend it. You must be apprehended by it. And the singular way you are apprehended is by the true meaning of of repentance. All right, take a big guy. Jeff is going to take you.